How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Well, Thursday here on this program. You know what that means? We are live, and presumably Mike Sempervive is going to be here today. He's all right. He slept through the show yesterday, for those of you concerned. We'll see if he's awake today. But whether he's awake or not, fear not. You've got an hour's worth of content coming up, because I could talk for years about what's gone on over the last 24 hours. We had AEW Dynamite. Holy smokes, did a lot of stuff happen on AEW Dynamite. We had the whole situation with CM Punk and his promo at the beginning of the show. We had the CM Punk-John Moxley confrontation, which led to another confrontation, which then led to the announcement that next week on Dynamite, it will be John Moxley versus CM Punk in a unification match for the AEW and the AEW Interim Heavyweight Championships. This coming just a couple of weeks before the All Out show in Chicago. And so we shall see what they end up doing next week. But there's been a lot of talk, a lot of questions, and I can answer a lot of it for you. Not everything. Some of it we'll have to wait to see what they do. But there's a lot going on in AEW, both on screen and behind the scenes as well. So we'll talk about that here today. We've also got tons of notes on NXT UK, which is no more, NXT Europe, former NXT wrestlers being axed, and what the situation is with the NXT show, which is coming up on September 4th. They are running an NXT show on the same day as AEW All Out, because the war is on and Hunter's looking for revenge. We've got the G1 Finals, New Japan Tokyo Dome, down to one night, and so much more. Holy smokes, there's a lot to get into. Back in a moment to kick it off, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervive. Oh, Mike Sempervive's here. Well, hello.
Morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Did you miss me?
For a while anyway.
I didn't think so.
I missed you more yesterday. I wouldn't have missed you today because there's too much to talk about. But, well, where to begin? Yesterday, the AEW Dynamite show opened up with CM Punk coming out. And he decided he was going to cut a promo on Hangman Page. And it was not a planned comment. It was not part of any storyline. It was CM Punk demanding an apology from Hangman Page. And he came out, and because it was unscripted, he came out and he challenged Hangman Page to a match. He sat cross-legged in the middle of the ring waiting for him to come out. Of course, this was not in the script, so Hangman didn't come out. And then Punk just stands up and he calls him a coward. And then he moved on to John Moxley. And for those of you that have no idea what's going on, there was a promo several months back when they were building up the CM Punk versus Hangman match. You probably remember it was a very intense promo. There was a lot of stuff in it that people were asking, what's he talking about? Punk coming in and we need to protect the locker room. I forget exactly what the situation, I forget all the exact verbiage. But the gist of it is that Hangman was upset with CM Punk. And he used that as part of his promo to build up the pay-per-view. Punk was very angry about that. And he's been angry about it ever since. And so he came out and he did what he did, demanding he wants Hangman to apologize for that promo. So this is all, it has nothing to do with storyline, it has nothing to do with anything, and he went into business for himself, and you know, he made Hangman look, I mean, the Hangman's supposed to be the babyface here, and he made your babyface look like a coward. So anyway, believe me, there were plenty of people backstage furious at CM Punk, because Hangman is a well-liked guy. Everybody loves Hangman. And they felt bad for him, and they were upset with Punk. Now, of course, Punk, he has friends as well, and he has supporters. And his supporters are angry because they believe that Hangman was the one who started this. And so why is CM Punk taking all of this heat when Hangman is the guy that started this whole thing? So anyway, that's what happened in that promo, and then they moved on. So I know it's wrestling. I know that people think that everything is a work or this is like an MJF deal. I am telling you, I've talked to so many people, it's not. This is a real situation. It was called unprofessional, literally, actually, by all sides. The Punk side believes that Hangman started this by being unprofessional, and the Hangman folks think that Punk was unprofessional for making Hangman look like a fool last night at the beginning of the show. But it is not an angle to build up a match at All Out. It's not an angle to build up a match, because as soon as this happened, they've already announced that Jon Moxley and Punk are having a match for both titles. It's a title versus title match, interim title versus AEW title, next week on the show. So as soon as that was announced, everybody starts trying to put everything together. Oh, well, maybe, Punk's going to win next week, and then it's going to be Punk and Hangman at All Out. Maybe Hangman's going to do that. Hangman has nothing to do with any of this. Hangman is not involved in any of this. It is something that Punk said, and now everybody's trying to figure out how Hangman, he doesn't play into this. So whatever they're doing next week, it is not leading to something with the Hangman. Now, will Punk and Hangman have another match again someday? Probably. I can't say for sure, but I can say that there are no plans right now for a CM Punk Hangman Page match. So that's the first big story coming out of Dynamite. The second story, obviously, is that they are doing a Jon Moxley CM Punk match for both belts on the show next week. What are they going to do? Well, everybody's come up with all of these theories about the who, what, when, where, why, and how. I've heard people say, well, you know, Punk must be hurt. They don't think he can do a pay-per-view match. Well, if they don't think he can do a pay-per-view match, why is he doing a match next week? That's not it. The pay-per-view is in Chicago. So that would suggest that Punk could win, because Punk's obviously going to be, you know, in the main event of Chicago. Why would you pull Punk from Chicago? So what are they going to do here? There's many options that they could do. But the impression that I've been given is whatever they're going to do, they've got a plan. And one way or another, there is going to be a match with both titles on the line next week. This is not, you know, we're going to do this or that and pull the match or whatever. They're doing the match on TV next week. And whatever they're doing, they have a plan that's going to lead to All Out. So what that is, I guess we'll find out. I see everybody DQ, count out, blah, 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 blah. They don't do that often. You can count on one hand the number of DQs. So, I mean, it's possible. I'm not sure how doing a match with a DQ is going to get people more interested in the match at All Out. So, we shall see. But the match is taking place. It is the biggest match they've ever booked on Dynamite next week on the show for free. So, those are the two big stories coming out of the Dynamite show. The show was great. It was a great show, with the exception of the first 2 minutes or whatever. But any thoughts on any of this, Mike, before we go on and we can answer questions or whatever?
Well, I don't know. If I'm a fan, I don't think that first 2 minutes, there was anything wrong with it at all. In fact, it gave me a lot of intrigue. I want to know what's going on here between these two. And what are any of the, I see, you know, you talked about people talking about DQs and things like what they theorize, what could happen with that match. Is there anybody theorizing what the beef is here at its core between CM Punk and Hangman Page?
I just explained all of it. Well, I explained all of it.
Brian, time out. Before you get all jumpy and everything, I know you explained all of it, but there's obviously an issue here that these two men decided to bring up in promos leading into their first match, which obviously is now really stuck in CM Punk's crawl. And obviously he can be, has a reputation of being a streperous guy, a moody guy, maybe somebody who can't get along with everybody in that locker room. But have you ever heard of anything specifically that people maybe can point to? Because if this is one of the biggest stories coming out of it, I mean, it was something that CM Punk did, but it's a, you know, self-inflicted wound here. All you're going to do is get people talking as to what it is that would cause two fan favorites to want to air their dirty laundry in front of everybody.
Well, something, CM Punk did something that it was a backstage deal.
Now, does it predate his time there and carried itself?
It was something AEW related that happened backstage. And there's a million people have all sorts of theories, and the predominant theories, you know, they very well may be right, but basically, you know, Hangman said something to the effect of, you know, you're putting on a friendly face. Fake but ass. You're a locker room cancer. And so that was what he said. And Punk took exception to that, and he was very upset about it. And now he's gotten his receipt on national TV, which made Hangman look like a fool. You challenged the babyface to come out for a fight for the title, and the babyface didn't come out.
I tell you what, he certainly threw down the gauntlet not only for Hangman Page to respond in a way, but for AEW to see how they let him respond, because you're going to have to let him get some sort of shot back, and you're going to want to play this to the people to some point too, because, you know, personal issues do truly draw money, and there's a way to make this work where everybody's a winner, but the two guys involved have got to be able to work with each other on that.
Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. May as well do the Dynamite report, then we'll get into everything else, because there's a lot stemming from all of this. So it opened up with the CM Punk promo on Hangman, and then he called out Jon Moxley and basically buried him, and said he was the third best guy in his group. He said Eddie was the third best Eddie he had ever wrestled, which, by the way, apparently the second Eddie besides Eddie Guerrero was Eddie Fatu. So for those of you wondering who the other Eddie was, and he would not be the first John he beat for a belt in Chicago. So Moxie comes out, gets in his face, cuts
poor
a promo about how he's the heart and soul of AEW. Punk said he'll be the dollars and cents. They got in each other's faces. Moxley kisses him. They get into a huge brawl. Security runs down. They break it up. It was very bar fight reminiscent, and there was another one coming up later.
That Effie match over the weekend had a lot of influence on Jon Moxley, I see.
I would strongly suspect that Jon Moxley came up with the idea of kissing Effie, would be my guess. But they had Hangman thing, this was an awesome opening segment. Awesome segment. We had a great Powerhouse Hobbs segment where he explained why he beat up Ricky Starks. And he basically said Ricky did a promo, and he said he was fine with losing. And Hobbs said, brother, I ain't fine with losing. I've been here for well over a year. I've been standing behind you. I've been protecting you from everybody. And you just couldn't get the job done. And then you talk about how you're okay losing. I'm a winner. And he says, QT in the factory, I got something coming for you guys as well. I thought this was a great promo by Hobbs. We had Bryan Danielson, Daniel Garcia, best of three falls. 24-something minutes. Great match. First fall, they're going back and forth. Garcia drops him on his head with a pile driver, puts him in a hammerlock dragon sleeper. Danielson goes out. First fall is over. Garcia's won. Danielson can barely make it out for the second fall. Garcia beats on him. Goes for the dragon sleeper again. Danielson turns into a cradle and pins him. Perfect finish. They're 1-1. Third fall, Garcia goes after him again. They do all their near falls there at the end. Danielson gets a DDT on the outside. He's busted open, bleeding everywhere. They're hitting their moves. And then finally, Danielson puts on the Gene LaBelle lock. And he submits Garcia. And then afterwards, Garcia's, you know, he's practically in tears. Bryan offers him a handshake. Garcia's about to shake his hand, and Jericho jumps Bryan from behind, beats him down. Crowd's chanting, you're a wrestler, as Garcia pulls Jericho off Bryan Danielson. Jericho and Garcia have a face-to-face. They're yelling at each other. And next week, Jericho's going to clear the air with old Garcia. This segment was awesome. We had a couple of other segments here and there, and then Jon Moxley rushes down to the ring again, demands Punk. Punk runs down to the ring. They're held apart again, and this leads to the announcement that they ain't going to wait. Next week on this show, we're unifying these titles. Another excellent segment. We had a Jericho 2.0 segment backstage, which led to Parker getting in the face of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who's there as a timekeeper. And so Steamboat gave him a chop. I was happy to see Steamboat get something here. I like that they respect the veterans, as opposed to WWE, where like the main reason Big Show left was they always humiliated this poor guy, and every single show they eviscerated him. So they gave something to old Steamboat here. The Gun Club squashed the Varsity Blondes. Billy then hugged his sons, and he told them, "Oh, I'm so proud of you guys. Thank God we got back on the same page." And then out comes old Stokely, and he gives them the office, and they beat up their father. And who should make the save for Daddy Ass but the Acclaimed? They run down, they save him. Bro, I thought this was awesome. Because literally, from the day they put these guys together, when what's-his-face was out with the injury, it's always been Bowens. Billy loved the Acclaimed more than he loved his own sons. And they've kept it consistent. In the end, his sons turned on him, but his real sons, the Acclaimed, made the save. And I cannot wait to see what they do with the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn as a regular trio here. Had some more backstage segments in a Jungle Boy promo where he admitted that he got in trouble for that shirt he wore on TV. But the shirt's true, he said. And he wants to challenge Christian to a match it all out. Christian comes out. He says no. He says, "Listen, I know you don't believe me, but I'm proud of you. And we were great together. I could take you to the greatest of heights. I think we need to be a family again. I want to be your father figure." And Jungle Boy doesn't buy this for a second, and he beat the living hell out of Christian. He pummeled him. He beat him around ringside. He stomped his head into the steps. He broke his arm with a stomp on the steps. And apparently they're still wrestling at the pay-per-view, so it must not be an actual broken arm, but a very violent beating, and Jungle Boy really put a beating on this guy, which I think it's probably because he's losing at the pay-per-view when Luchasaurus turns on him. We had Wardlow and FTR. We're having a Wardlow, FTR versus Lethal, Sanjay, and Satnam Trios match at the pay-per-view. Neither of these teams were in the Trios tournament, but we're having a Trios match coming up at the pay-per-view. Tony Storm beat Kylan King. I have a lot to say about this match, but I'll say I don't got time here. I'll talk about it on the Brian and Vinny show, but it's like, if you really want to do something with the women's division, like, you got to do something. This putting them in the death spot, God bless Kylan King, but, like, nobody cared. I mean, this is self-fulfilling prophecy right now. The women can't get over, so we're going to have just nothing matches at a nothing spot on the show, and lo and behold, they're not getting over. You got to do something, and this ain't it. But Tony Storm won, and they announced that Tony Storm was getting the championship match coming up at All Out. Next week, we got Death Triangle versus United Empire, Dax versus Jay Lethal, and Punk and Moxley, champion versus champion. That is the August 24th Dynamite show. And then the main event was the Young Bucks and the returning Kenneth Omega versus Andrade, Rush, and Dragon Lee. And they had a very good trios match. I actually expected it to be a lot better. And the two issues were we had two commercial breaks in the middle of the match. And stuff earlier in the show went long, which is an ongoing problem with AEW, by the way. And so they got their time cut. They were totally rushing at the finish. Jon Moxley pinned Dragon Lee with the one-winged angel. And then after the match, they turned on Dragon Lee. Andrade hit him with the hammerlock DDT, unmasked him. Him and Rush left him for dead. And it was like, boom, off the air. So, Tony Schiavone, I just want to mention very quickly, Tony Schiavone did an interview, because Tony Schiavone is I forget his actual role, but he's in some sort of management position. And he did an interview where, let's see if I can find it here. He talked about how there were some things backstage that needed to be fixed for, you know, for the good of everybody. And there's a long interview here. It's on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. But it's not all roses backstage at AEW, as we learned in the first 3 minutes of this program. But one of the big issues with AEW is there's this thing called freedom. Do you know what freedom is, Mike?
I do.
Okay, we all should know what freedom means here in America. But you know, freedom is a great thing, but it can also be a not great thing. In the sense that one of the things that a lot of people love about AEW is how much freedom they have. But unfortunately, when people start to take advantage of that freedom, then you start to have problems. And we have seen people take advantage of that freedom. We've seen people cutting promos that they weren't supposed to cut. They have freedom on the mic, so they're out there challenging somebody they're not supposed to challenge. We have seen the freedom of, you know, you've got 8 minutes written on the sheet and you go 13. And there's no consequences for it. You just decided you wanted to go long, you go long. And then later on in the show, they got to cut time here. They got to cut time here. This is rushed. This is rushed. There's a lot of people. I don't want to say a lot of people. There's certainly people that are, you know, making the most of their freedom in a good way. And there are also people that are abusing their freedom. And I think one of the things that needs to be addressed in AEW backstage is, dude, follow the damn rules. Like, don't abuse this freedom. You have freedom on the mic, but don't do crazy stuff. You got freedom to do what you want in your matches, but if the match says 8 minutes, you get out of there in 8 minutes. Otherwise, the inmates are going to run the asylum, and that's the beginning of doom in a promotion. I'm not saying that AEW is doomed. I'm pointing out you don't want to get to that point where the inmates are running the asylum.
But is it already at that point in some ways when you've had these issues with time for so long now? It's come up multiple times. You bought yourself extra time, still didn't have time. You know, at what point is it quality control? Why is Jungle Boy able to go out there on national TV in a PU double dollar sign Y shirt if he wasn't supposed to be wearing it? You know, the CM Punk thing. Unfortunately, that's what happens when you hand somebody a microphone. You could script them all out there. You could give them every talking point in the world. If somebody decides they're going to start running off at the mouth, the only thing you can really do at that point is cut their microphone. So in that situation, I really can't blame them. But, you know, it's not like anything that you're saying right now, or, and I haven't read exactly what Tony Schiavone said, but there have been people that have said it is messy back there at times and in moments where it shouldn't be. And it does get a little bit wild where somebody's getting this and then somebody else is annoyed about that, you know. So that's something that at this point in the game, and look, to their credit, one would assume he's trying to tighten that up, because you do have Sanjay Dutt, you do have Tony Schiavone, and you do have other people that have now been put into roles and layers of management.
Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. You can text us your thoughts on any of this, 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. Brian at WrestlingObserver.com, at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. I got to get in some other news. We can go to that here in a moment. But New Japan coming back to New York in October. NJPW Rumble on 44th Street, Friday, October 28th. It's a pay-per-view. Will include wrestlers from Stardom. So maybe we'll finally get that Tom Lawler Siri mixed tag I've been waiting for. And of course, the G1 is wrapped up. You shouldn't be listening if you don't want spoilers. It's over. It's wrapped up. The match took place. But I gave you a moment there, in case you needed it. And a shocker to me, Okada won! Okada won the G1, beating Will Ospreay. His fourth time winning the G1, and his second G1 win in a row. So, conceivably, this leads to Okada versus Jay White coming up at the Tokyo Dome.
Which, January 4th is what
they announced. That it is the January 4th Tokyo Dome. And not January 4th and January 5th. After 4 years, the Tokyo Dome is back to being a one-night event. It is not a two-night event this year. If only WWE took note of this.
Oh, will you stop it?
They announced it's a one-night show, and that's going to be the plan. January 4th with presumably Okada, Jay White in the main event, but there's a lot that can happen between then. Okada could lose his briefcase. Jay White could lose his title. But that appears to be the current main event for that show. I have not seen the finals yet, but I did see the semifinals. And Okada and Tama Tonga, thought was a very good match. But and Okada tried, he tried. Boy, did he try to convince me that maybe Tama Tonga might go to the finals. But he didn't do it. But it was a very, very good match. They had some great near falls there at the end. And then the other semifinal was Naito and Will Ospreay, which was an awesome match. You know, there was a period a few years back where Naito was just an absolute wreck. And he couldn't do, I shouldn't say he couldn't do anything. He did all of his stuff, but he was slow. And he had no physique to speak of because his body was just ravaged. And he just looked totally, you know, over the hill. And it was sad. And I don't know what this dude did, but man, he's back, bro. He had a great match. And actually, he's looked great for months and months now. So good for him. But he did lose to Will Ospreay. And then Will Ospreay cut this awesome promo afterwards. Talked about it yesterday, how he almost died of the kidney infection, and he's back, and he's the best wrestler in the world, and he's going to win the G1. And I thought, man, that's the match, dude. But he didn't. He lost to Okada. And so that's your G1 wrap-up. Did you see the finals yet, Mike?
I did, and it was a here's a real shocker for everybody. An incredible match with a closing sequence, which is an all-timer. Them going back and forth with each other and building up the drama. This has been Okada's week. I don't think you saw the matches. I know Dave talked about them on the show this morning with you. On Tuesday, the last round of block matches where he and Lance Archer just absolutely tore him up, went after him, and it was great. And he wins it again. I don't think that's any surprise in this 50th year. The biggest star of New Japan, you know, the one who is now reaching back for moves of Antonio Inoki. It's just, he is right guy at the right time for the golden anniversary of that company. He's one of the best professional wrestlers in the world. Will Ospreay isn't bad either, and they had themselves one hell of a final. So, look, that's one to go out of your way to see. If you have the type of time to see a whole show, honest to God, go back and watch that last night of block matches that took place, because it was excellent. But if you only have time to see one match, man, that was a spectacular close to this whole tournament.
Couple of WWE notes as well. I know some of you don't want to hear it, but too bad. This company's heating up, dude. It's heating up. That Raw show on Monday did just under 2 million viewers over the 3 hours. And the NXT Heatwave show on Tuesday did 723,000 viewers and a 0.18 in 18 to 49, which is a gigantic number. They haven't done a number this big since Halloween Havoc in October. And, you know, there's no good explanation for this except that people are interested in tuning in to find out what a post-Vince WWE is like. And they're not being disappointed. I know some people are not, you know, super bullish on it yet. But the one thing you can say since Vince is gone is all that stupid stuff is gone. The promoting matches that don't take place, your 24/7 stupidity, all of the goofiness, it's gone. And you may think that, well, you know, there's still a long way to go. I don't like this. I don't like that. But things, you know, they're heating up here. And the WrestleMania ticket numbers, that's legitimate. 90,000 tickets in 24 hours. So there is increasing interest in what WWE is doing. And that comes on the heel of, yes, NXT UK, as we speculated for the last week or so, NXT UK is no more. WWE has clarified NXT UK will be the foundation of NXT Europe beginning in 2023. NXT UK will end in its current form and serve as a foundation for a bigger, better NXT Europe. WWE officially announced the creation of NXT UK or Europe on Thursday. The final NXT UK show will be, as I also speculated, Worlds Collide September 4th. They are running the same day as All Out. It is an afternoon show, so it's not head-to-head. But for those of you that think that, you know, Hunter's not out for revenge, brother, this guy's out for revenge. So it'll be September 4th. It'll be the day before Clash at the Castle, same day as All Out. It's going to begin at 4 Eastern, so it'll end, and then you can watch the All Out show. And it'll be, I don't know what they're going to do, but if you watched the NXT show on Tuesday, I would suspect it's going to be perhaps a bunch of unification matches. Could be wrong. But if NXT UK in its current form is done, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be unifying all of these titles, bringing the best talent from NXT UK to NXT, no longer making it the colorful, goofy, developmental show. I mean, this, like I said yesterday, Hunter had a vision for NXT. Vince and Dunn booted him out. He was removed from his job, and they created this NXT 2.0. He's not taking over and going with their vision. He's going to go back to something more similar to his vision. So you are going to see your Tyler Bates and your Gallus and the best men and women wrestlers. I mean, you're going to see something more reminiscent of the old NXT than the current NXT 2.0. So it's all changing. And he's on the warpath, dude. He's on the warpath.
I'm really sad this Wall Street Journal story about Vince McMahon and Donald Trump broke when you were off the air, because this line in here about Donald Trump, who...
Do you have it, or should I read it? Because I got it right here.
I have it right here. Oh, BSA, if you would like to go ahead, but I just... It will always amaze me that the man that honestly really thought that Vince McMahon was blown up on national television, on his own wrestling show, in his own limousine, that man became president of the United States.
Hey, listen, whatever you think about politics, bro, this guy called to make sure that Vince was okay after they blew him up in a limo. He called because he was worried about Vince McMahon. It says here from a filing regarding the $5 million that Vince and Linda paid the Trump Foundation for his appearance at WrestleMania 2007. In the Battle of the Billionaires in 2007, Mr. McMahon and Mr. Trump fought a proxy match, each represented by a professional wrestler, with the winner getting to shave the loser's head. Mr. Trump's wrestler won. We don't need to mention Bobby Lashley or Umanga here.
Bubby.
A person who reviewed Mr. Trump's contract, or should I say, Eddie. We need to talk about Eddie here and Bobby Lashley. Person who reviewed Mr. Trump's contract for the WrestleMania appearance said that Mr. Trump directed Mr. McMahon to send a $4 million appearance fee to Mr. Trump's charity. Mr. Trump had his associates review the contract to ensure that under no circumstances would Mr. McMahon be allowed to shave Trump's head, even if Mr. Trump's wrestler dropped dead in the ring, this person said. He wrote that into the contract. If the wrestler representing me dies in the ring, you still can't shave my head. That's the big issue.
No,
not that the guy
God.
Died in the ring, no. But no, you ain't shaving my head under any circumstances.
And the fact that he would make sure that's in there, because there's probably a little bit of Donald Trump that believes what we all believe, which is, would Vince set somebody up to die just to get one over on me and say he won the war? With Vince, you never know. But the fact that they actually had that in there, I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing testament to his own vanity. It's an amazing testament to the sheer lunacy of everyone and everything involved in all of this stuff. And, you know, they had that little photo there on the Wall Street Journal page. And you got to give it to Eve Torres and Maria Kanellis and a handful of the other women that were just constantly used to be on the arms of these two geeks when they were doing that whole deal. Oh, God bless them. I hope they got hazard pay. And you know
God,
what?
God, I never thought about this before, by the way.
The NDAs, you know, we'll never know maybe if some of them got hazard pay.
Up in Smoke 313 notes, to think Trump chose you, MAGA. I'd never thought about that before.
You, MAGA,
that
and
proves,
Bubby.
That proves we're living in a simulation when you really think about it.
Bubby,
how
Lashley.
About that? Wow.
Didn't he actually call him Blaster, which was like, well, at least he got that right because it was his
well,
OVW
he was Blaster
name.
Lashley for a while. It's,
yeah, but you know, was Donald getting tapes from you? I don't
think so. No, Trump chose Lashley. Ah, man.
Yeah, well, you did chose Lashley, yeah.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
Vince's hair was the same growing
back. I forgot Trump was the babyface in that feud. Sorry.
Mm.
I'd forgotten the storyline behind that that hair match there.
Oh, my.
Well, anyway, no more NXT UK, so that's too bad.
I tell you what, but you know how you
want to see everybody moving up.
You want to get CM Punk and Hangman Page on the same page? There you go. Stick them in a room with Donald Trump there. I see that's something that I bet you they can probably be together on and get out their frustrations.
All righty. Well, we have got...
You know, it's been a good week of wrestling. No matter what anybody says, no matter what any type of negativity people want to throw on the week and pick nits over things, because there's a lot of stuff that, yeah, wasn't very good on a lot of these shows, you know, all of them, including New Japan. But, man, it's actually been a nice week to watch wrestling on TV. It's made it pretty easy for us.
This person here says, I bet Punk wins and MJF returns, stating he negotiated a deal to return, but a title match is one of the conditions. AEW's back to what the original plans were all along. I suppose anything's possible, but I cannot fathom trying to do Punk and MJF with 2 weeks build for All Out. I'd be very skeptical. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Let's see what we've got here in the text message bin. Fightful is reporting CM Punk is expressing displeasure in AEW. Are they working us? Did they make the match next week to protect the title if Punk walks? Well, I mean, he definitely expressed displeasure in the first 3 minutes of the show. But I think that you're going to get your match next week. And who knows what the guy's going to do. But I've heard nothing that indicates that he's not going to be at All Out. So we'll see what happens. But anything can happen. Hope you discuss Punk's comments about Hangman. Indeed, I did. I wonder what people on, let's see. Man.
Not much else.
No.
Well, see, that's the problem when you do these things happen, that it becomes the story. So no matter what it is, they better get this thing fixed. They better get it worked out. They better figure out a way where they can make it make some money for all of the headache that apparently it's causing people and any cliques and factions that are surely also throwing things back and forth.
Well, that's the news for today, everybody, and I'll probably have more to say. I'm sure I'll hear a lot today. So tonight, Brian and Vinny show only for subscribers. It's AEW and NXT 2.0, so Vinny and I will have 90 minutes to discuss both shows. Hear anything more, I'll talk about it tonight. Brian and Vinny show, WrestlingObserver.com for subscribers, video.f4wonline.com. If you sign up, you can not only listen to all of the shows, the member shows, but you can hear all of the archives as well, over 13,000 archived shows. So sign up to WrestlingObserver.com, video.f4wonline.com. A lot of stuff coming up. Talk to you tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live.